It's day two of Star Wars Celebration Chicago 2019.
That is right. We are back at the Cannon Cantina after dark.
After dark.
Yeah, you can't forget that the first time. Like, that's very important. And David is here again with us, our official. What were all David's titles we've dubbed on this?
The most
trip?
Important has been Navigator.
Yeah.
I thought we had a name for that, though. I thought it was like
Head of Transportation.
Head of Transportation and Security.
Head of Security.
He was a navigator on a spice freighter.
Follow up sound man. So, and Katie is actually
carrier
resting
of heavy things
right now. So it's just the three of us, but it is the Cannon Cantina after dark again. And today was kind of a big day.
Huge.
Lando's back.
That's what Mike took away from this, is Lando's back. Not maybe say Palpatine's back.
Oh, right.
That whole thing.
That guy.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that part of that is when we see that, we don't really know what back means for Palpatine.
Ooh.
Very true.
For Lando, it's very clear. He's cackling while the Millennium Falcon pulls up out of light speed.
They're paying me to do this again.
Right. I saw a meme that said, "I want my shit back over my dead body." And
yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah. But that aside, we're obviously going to touch on some of our trailer thoughts, but we're going to go deeper into that later, of course.
I guess we should start with just the morning, right? Because
let's talk about how we getting there, all of that, right?
Yeah, we have been extremely lazy so far at this con, spoiled by our luck in the lottery system.
Yeah.
Because
I wouldn't call it lazy per se, but
compared to the diehards that are trying to line up in the Star Wars store line and then still make it to all these panels, we are very lazy. Like, we would get up around, like 8. David would go for a run because he's an Iron Man and can do that stuff and then walk around a con all day. Mm-hmm. And we'd catch the train to the Wintrust Arena because we even made the, main arena stage. We weren't in one of the streaming sites.
Right.
And our section wasn't, great. We were kind of off to the side and high, but we still had a decent enough view of
definitely.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah. We were at an angle where the infamous camera boom was in our way a few times.
That's right. The crane.
Yeah.
The sweeping crane. But before that, I guess, worth mentioning, because it's our first day of the lottery, this is a new system. I think it's great, Mike. A lot of people don't.
You say that because we won a bunch of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even if we didn't, win Galaxy's Edge, right? When that's coming up. But I don't know. I think it's great because we showed up 40 minutes before, something like that?
Yeah, about 40 minutes.
Maybe an hour before.
Not quite. Yeah.
We're walking up.
Probably got off the train an hour before.
Just like the airport, you got to go through security and be frisked and things like that. So
only unlike the airport, security at the Wintrust Arena is even meaner.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of yelling.
Yeah, you guys are getting the experience here, living vicariously through us. Very, very angry.
Very, very angry, and the whipping wind just seems to amplify everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's you're doing less than TSA is making you do, but I was getting yelled at for doing more. They were like, "No, don't put your wallet down on that table. Just hold it in your hand." Walked through, and I was like, "Okay, I was just going to slide it around the detector.
I'm just trying to help."
So we finally made it through, and it's kind of like a stadium type situation, as you would expect. We're going to a game or something like that. They have they had concessions and bathrooms with really long lines.
Oh yeah,
very expensive cups, $22 cups.
Hey, don't knock it. I bought one.
I know. I'm not. I'm just saying. I mean, it feels like you're watching a professional sports event. But we got seated, and it was pretty cool. For about an hour before the show started, they had the entertainer guys, the DJ guys. I always forget their names. But
DJ Elliot and Warwick Davis.
And then they had the true star after that, Warwick Davis, after that.
Yeah.
And Warwick came out and basically entertained the crowd for a while, asked trivia questions, talked with people, talked about the weekend. And then, of course, we got into the panel. And Starting with JJ and Kathleen.
No. Starting with Stephen Colbeagle, the Eagle.
Well,
even before that,
I was waiting for you to say that. Yeah,
we had the first female stormtrooper.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The actor who portrayed her came out, and
that was before the panel. Yeah,
that's right. That was like the last thing before the panel officially kicked
off. It's cool they're keeping people entertained during the hour leading up to. But yeah, Stephen Colbert coming out. And
surprise.
What a surprise.
And he was great.
I nerded out a little bit. Him and Craig Ferguson are my favorite talk show hosts. Most of the other ones I care less. And I don't know. It was pretty shocking, but also it was kind of like, yeah, this is why we're here. These are the sort of things we get.
Yeah.
And these are things people complain about on the internet. Like, oh, I didn't get to do that. And it's like, well, you could have bought tickets. Or oh, they showed exclusive footage. I didn't get to that. That's sometimes the things with these, but... That's part of the reason you go, I think, is the memories, the experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the episode 9 stuff, they did a good job of streaming to the other two stages and just on the internet live enough that, you know, even if it was on your phone, like I had to do at Celebration Anaheim, you could still see everything.
Yeah, and did they do what they did? I don't know because we were on the stage, but did they do what they did at Celebration Anaheim where... The stream stops at the very end, right before the trailer, and then they put the trailer online like 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes
later. At Celebration Anaheim, it was seamless.
Okay.
And I think it was the same thing. Like their stream feed cut out, and then it went straight into a version of the episode 9 trailer. So I think that the streaming for this went fine. I didn't really see any complaints. Even people were like, oh, I'm bummed I didn't get in, but they still got to see everything from my understanding.
Yeah.
So we'll see how the rest of the panels go with that and if there's any sort of disruptions or anything like that.
Yeah, we Steven did his little intro, which was great. Then we got JJ and Kathy. and I thought JJ was actually a little nervous at the start of this thing. He's like, oh, man, there are this many people here, kind of.
Yeah.
Took him a little bit to warm up, but... It was fine once things got going. And I think he's just so scared of accidentally saying something spoilery.
I think that's what
wrong.
It was. I think it was that. Plus, when we saw JJ speak the last time for one of these things, it was pre even the release of 7. So expectations, you know, all these sorts of things were tempered in a different way entirely.
Yeah.
Now 2 movies are out, and we're about to have the final movie.
Yeah. So do you think now... Do you think he feels more pressure or a little less?
Honestly, I think he probably feels a little more pressure because he had to come back when it wasn't the original plan.
Yeah.
And Last Jedi was kind of divisive.
Yeah. That's
totally right. Yeah. So he's kind of got to jump in at that point. And then he also has to finish essentially the finale of 3 trilogies. And that's what they keep... At least
Act
saying.
3 End of the third part of the third play of a trilogy is basically how I put it. 9 acts, 3 plays, 1 saga.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's funny we say that leading right from that. Kathleen and JJ said that a lot. The 3-act structure for the trilogies and the 3 trilogies being acts within themselves. And they talked a lot about talking with George and that being his vision as well. So that was pretty cool and that was exciting. And at this point, they started actually showing a few things on the screen while also bringing out cast members.
Well, and actually, before we get to this new stuff, you're right. This was great. If you didn't watch this live stream, you should go do it because I feel like I've seen a lot of the behind-the-scenes footage of the original trilogy, but they were playing some stuff that I had never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
As just kind of like an intro and filler to like the legacy of Star Wars. Like you saw the Harrison and Luke and Alec Guinness and Peter Mayhew doing like running lines basically in the Millennium Falcon cockpit set and like Harrison fumbling over everything, doing the whole, George, you can write this, but you can't say this. Beep. And Alec Guinness only 50% knowing what was going on.
Yeah.
And Luke jimming the camera the whole time. Or Mark jimming the camera the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
And Peter Mayhew smirking because he knows he's outside of the shot with his Chewie mask off.
Yeah.
He's just smirking there. Good stuff. No, that was some blooper reel in a way. And then that led into, as Mike just said, a montage, a behind the scenes sort of montage of all the films and a lot of course, emphasis on the sequel films. But it was pretty cool to see everybody and little interviews with everybody spread throughout. And then all this went down. So before we even got to the trailer, we had the cast come out. And, you know, we'll stretch it out too much, but it was the entire cast of this film except Adam, basically.
Well, I mean, they did not all come out at once, to be fair.
No.
It was, first off, Anthony Daniels was first, right?
He was.
Yes.
And he, Anthony Daniels, did up for a bit.
Yeah.
Like he does. I love it. And then it was Billy Dee after that, right?
That's right. Billy Dee came back.
Yeah.
He was, I feel like, and I told this to Mike and David and Katie after we got out of the panel, but I felt like he talked a lot more than they maybe were expecting. And I feel like everyone was kind of just in awe of his speaking, including JJ and Kathleen. But also, I also don't think they knew where he was going to go.
I think JJ and Kathleen were just a little bit like, oh God, what's he going to say?
And I feel like he talked almost the most of anybody.
I don't know that he said the most. He just talks so much slower than Anthony Daniels does.
It's true.
Yeah.
And he built up suspense between.
I definitely think him and Anthony got the most minutes of time, I guess.
Hey, Lando never left, baby. I see him when I look in the mirror.
Oh, man. It was so
I'm
great.
Tired of getting blamed for betraying Han. Nobody died, did they?
Nobody died. Can you answer me a question? Did anybody die?
Good point. That was very great. Good point.
Yeah, if you haven't watched this live stream, you're doing yourself a disservice. You guys got to watch it.
Because we are not doing it justice by recapping it here.
No, but we'll give you an idea of our impressions. But of course, after that, then we started having the new cast.
Then the new cast came out. Oscar Isaac, John Boyega, Daisy Ridley came out. Kelly Marie Tran came out to maybe the surprise of some people. I guess I was surprised because she wasn't on that leaked poster. Jonas Sotomo came out. And then the newest of the new cast, Naomi Aki, came out. And I thought she was like the most like energetic of the
cast that came out. She was a delight because you could tell that she is one less degree removed from being a Star Wars fan and is still in the holy crap, I'm a part of this franchise forever now mode.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it really showed.
Yeah,
she was sinking in for her too, right? Walking out on that stage, I'm sure.
Yeah, and she told the story about how she found out she got the part and everything, which was great. And her character's name is Janna.
Right.
She looks awesome. They showed like a preview picture of her. Of course, Steven asked, are you Lando's daughter? And she said, basically, Lando has children all over the galaxy.
Right.
So who knows? So I wonder if that will be revealed or not. I personally hope she isn't.
What if she's Lando and Sana's daughter? Because that's the way the Marvel stuff's been leaning.
I personally hope she isn't.
Right.
Just to diversify the galaxy a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I won't be angry if she is either.
Right. I can see it totally.
Yeah, and then I think next they talked to Kelly Marie Tran, who got the biggest
standing ovation.
Yes,
because of all the crap she had to go through after The Last Jedi.
Right.
Which was great to see. People online really weren't sure, is Rose going to come back at all? Will it be just a bit part? And it seems like she's going to still be a big piece of the Resistance.
That's right. And I guess one of the cooler parts of this panel, at least for me, and I think it was pretty resounding with the audience, JJ and Kathleen basically said, we can't tell you a ton about the story, but we can tell you all of our heroes will be together on this adventure.
On an adventure.
On an adventure together, yeah.
And that was exciting, I think, for people after The Last Jedi, more than people that liked or disliked, it doesn't really matter. I think it's a lot of these characters haven't really spent a lot of time together in these first two films. They've been separated a lot. So, I mean, Rey and Poe only met in the last couple seconds of The Last Jedi.
Yeah. So. I did like how JJ said he appreciated a lot of the things that Rian Johnson did for him in Episode 8, but his favorite thing that Rian Johnson did was cast Kelly Marie Tran as Rose.
Yes.
That was great.
That was great. And so I'm excited to see all these characters together and hopefully Rose to finish her story, actually get more of a character arc. That's kind of my biggest want with her character.
Well, and does that character arc take the form of a relationship, a love triangle, a love square, a love pentagon? Based on the direction that the conversations went with the rest of the cast from there,
that was pretty.
I think humorous. Everybody might be doing things with everybody on stage.
Doing things.
Hey, it's After Dark. I could probably say everybody might be banging everybody up there.
Yeah, I think you said much more non-PG things are first After Dark. I think that's fine. So, yeah, it's wow, what an exciting time. So, and meanwhile, while they're having interviews with all these characters. They're putting up pictures on the screen caps of their characters in the film, which is great. So we got to see all these new costumes. We got to see Finn's new costume.
Which John Boyega is finally a fan of.
Right. He's thought Finn basically never had his identity because it's true. Finn was wearing Stormtrooper pants.
Or post jacket. Or Han's pants.
Yeah.
So John was pretty excited about that. They showed Poe's new costume. And they showed Rose with longer hair and a new sort of General Organa-looking costume. We had a lot of interesting things. And they even showed a picture of Adam. It looked like he was in either a TIE fighter or a speeder piloting it. And also they showed Daisy. So we haven't got to Daisy yet. I feel like she didn't talk much at all.
I feel like she was scared to say anything.
She talked the least.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. But we saw her new costume, and it is totally a throwback to New Hope, Luke Skywalker, the white and the white boots. And
very much.
There's actually, I think, a joke on the internet right now that original Episode 9 Rey cosplayer, and people are posting pictures of Mark from New Hope.
Honestly, yeah. I didn't see that. I saw it more of Luke's white robe from The Last Jedi.
Mm.
Well, it also reminds me of the white dress that Leia's wearing in A New Hope, too.
Yeah.
It kind of has that. They had a shot of her from behind, and it kind of has that hood, like she pulls up over herself. But that bright white color definitely struck me after, you know, The Force Awakens. She's in kind of the sandy, and then she gets more gray in The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting. I liked it. I liked that it was kind of a redoing of her first costume in the first movie, but with the more Luke and Leia, as David said. Twist to it, which was pretty nice. And the white is just, you know, okay.
So some of the images that we saw, even though he wasn't there, we saw Adam Driver as Kylo Ren looking really angry and really dirty sitting in the cockpit of a starfighter.
Right.
Rose in her just, you know, resistance, like mechanic gear, basically. Poe looking like a mix between Nathan Drake and Brendan Fraser from the original Mario movie.
Oh, yeah. Great. Oh, yeah. He had the scarf and everything. It was amazing.
Yep.
Definitely my favorite Poe costume.
Billy Dee in a yellow Lando shirt, which
triggered Mike.
It did a little. It's not the same one.
I could feel the tension building next to me.
We've determined it's not. Well, obviously not the same one. He's gained a little weight.
Well, right, but it like the style is different.
Do you know how fitted Donald's is? That's fitted, man.
Well, but what I'm saying is Lando is too cool to go back to wearing a shirt he wore 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically wearing a retro version of that.
Well, yeah, what I liked is we saw his like new cape, and it was kind of like very muted. And it was kind of like a middle ground, I would say, between the indoor General Lando and the Calrissian of Cloud City cape.
And then Jonas looked great. Chewie still looks awesome.
Yeah. Chewie's looking better than ever.
One of the images that we saw was of a Corellian Corvette, a CR-90 Corvette, which...
That's right.
I mean, it hasn't been confirmed, but all the speculation is that's the Tantive IV from the beginning of A New Hope.
It had some red markings on it, didn't it? In the same spots as the Tantive?
Do you know how many Corellian Corvettes there were? We saw a bunch of them in Rogue One, too. So, I mean, I'm assuming it
Rebels, too.
I'm assuming it probably is.
And it was in some derelict-looking hangar or something.
No, it was out in like the forest somewhere.
Oh,
I
thought the forest was growing into this hangar. That's what I got off.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's
like
what
it's an old hangar like on Yavin or something. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But so there's obviously a lot of speculation there, and these are, it's actually pretty fun to speculate just on these things without knowing the trailer. What role could the Tantive play? Could it have something to do with it being Bail and Leia's ship? Obviously, once again, tying all three sagas together, the Tantive is Bail's ship in the prequels, and obviously it's the first ship we see in the first Star Wars movie, Episode 4, first thing we see in Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal. I'm interested. I'm really intrigued.
And, I mean, we could be wrong. It could just be an older Corellian Corvette. Who knows?
Right. And we have to preface, too, and say they said a lot of this panel, they didn't say how much time has passed because, of course, they're not going to give that away, but they have said...
Good point.
Time has certainly passed. They kept basically hinting around. And like I said, Rose had a long hair and a bun and things like that. So, like, you know, and she doesn't even have quite shoulder-length hair.
How you can judge the passage of time in the Endgame trailers by looking right at the color of Black Widow's hair.
Yes, exactly. Something's
changed. Yeah, something's changed. So I'm very interested in that. And what is the passage of time? I've been saying basically since we started the show, Mike, that I think it needs to be a significant gap of time because the first two movies, it was the shortest gap of time in Star Wars ever.
Well, and if they were going to say Leia died between movies, then I would agree with you. It would have been a significant gap in time. But we know she's here. And right, we know it's all very creatively and selectively like used footage that already existed that they wrote specifically around. So I'm betting it is, you know, a significant amount of time, like a year or two, but yeah, not like 5 years later, Leia died of old age kind of thing.
Right. And we'll see, too. I mean, I think we need time for the Resistance and the First Order to do more things. So,
yeah. So should we just talk about the trailer?
Yeah, well,
sure.
Let's talk about the trailer. They ended the panel with the trailer.
Which was great, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
If you're listening to this, I assume you've seen it, so I don't feel like we need to go, you know.
Like, we'll describe a frame by frame.
Yeah, that's a future episode, something else. So
we might do that with the official trailer, because they did just call this the teaser.
That's a right. Good teaser.
Yeah, it was a great teaser. Opening with Rey on yet another desert planet. She sort of looks like Matt Damon's Mars from right. The Martian. You see the ship coming off in the distance, and she turns around and ignites the lightsaber, which I was chatting with David Triana, who hosts Followers of the Force on Twitter, mm-hmm. and he was looking at these pictures, like, side by sides of all these lightsabers, and he's like, is this a different one? Because it's got a black band around the middle of it. It's like, dude, that's just space electrical tape.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the lightsaber just the together.
Taping it back together.
Yeah, that's definitely the legacy saber. That's funny, though. Yeah, we had to make a little small mod to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we won't go into the trailer this episode per se. I mean, just that we obviously...
I mean, we can give some high-level stuff. I think
tensions were high.
It's safe to say we all thought that scene of her doing a backflip over the approaching TIE Silencer interceptor-looking thing was
TIE
awesome.
Silencer version 2 or whatever we got. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was awesome. And why do you think they didn't show Kylo in that shot? Just to create tension with people?
I mean,
questions.
Those were probably his hands.
Yeah, exactly.
We assume.
Yeah, that
yeah.
probably his fighter that's only, you know, relegated to him, just like Vader's TIE Advance, that sort of thing. We've kind of been told that now, but
because it was a very pretty shot, and they didn't want to ruin it by putting Adam Driver's face on screen.
Oh man.
There it is. So highlights for me, obviously the beginning was great. I really enjoyed just sitting on that scene, not going to other things for a while, you know, just the Rey versus the TIE fighter.
It was like a 30-40 second like shot kind of drawn out.
Yeah, very much Star Wars, very samurai film western feeling, which was great. Obviously there's a history with where they're at too, but after that, then it started kind of going to a cut of everybody, kind of what everybody's doing, which is pretty cool. But not actually a lot of Kylo in it, just that one action shot, which I thought was pretty cool.
His action shot of stabbing somebody with the side of his cross saber.
Mm-hmm. Once again, having one of the most inventive fighting styles. It's more medieval fighting.
Is it like inventive fighting style, or, well, we put these two little things on his lightsaber because it looks cool. Let's try to make it practical.
I mean,
little column A, little column B.
If it's a lightsaber broadsword, he needs to use it more like a broadsword, I guess. So I don't know. It's but he's got a very interesting aggressive style. But
he's got his helmet back, put together with red super glue.
Yep. So he obviously is taking on that mantle again. And obviously, Lando was a big highlight for all of us. The reveal of Lando was awesome. And but my favorite part before even the finale, which obviously floored me, was the shot on what it looks like an ocean world with the Death Star laser dish broken in half and our heroes looking at it off of a cliff. That was my favorite shot, actually.
It was a very good shot, and it also highlights a new character that rolled out on stage.
That's right.
D.O., who is the Pixar lamp transformed into a Star Wars droid, basically.
Yes.
So right. Yeah, he was there, too, with BB-8. Him and BB-8 both turning their heads at the same time. Yeah, I just really liked that final shot of them all walking and rolling up on this, and basically revealing... yeah, we are tying it all together because the Death Star.
It's clearly not a new planet. It's one of two places, Yavin 4 or Endor, which are both actually moons, not even planets.
That's right. And I told Mike I have a theory here. I don't know if it's correct or not, but it's interesting nonetheless. And I think with Endor being so small and Yavin being so small too, let's not forget that. They're both incredibly small places. If the Death Star fell to that planet, which in canon... and in Legends now, it has, and there's been different repercussions of those stories. But I think the Death Star being so massive would create a change in the ecosystem, certainly, but maybe something even on a greater scale, maybe creating an ocean,
climate change, fake news,
Pangea sort of situation, a lot of things like that, like just actually physically moving the land around, and because. From what we've been told, Endor doesn't really have any oceans or anything like that.
From what we've been told in our Star Wars experience of one planet, one ecosystem.
That's right.
So that was your favorite part. David, what was your favorite part of the trailer?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Before the end.
Yeah, we're excluding the end.
So one thing that, as on just like a more macro level, the music really got me. That was definitely like
killed.
Some... goosebump inducing moments just because they perfectly used Leia's theme in there and the way the music swelled.
Very good.
And just being there with, you know, like 10,000 other people. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Yes, absolutely. That if you didn't say that, I was going to make mention of the music.
Well, and David
sure.
just sparked my actual other favorite part of the trailer, which somehow I forgot. It's been tiring days here, guys. Just Luke's voiceover. New lines
yes.
from Luke. And new lines from Luke kind of guiding the trailer. That was fun.
Yeah. I'm kind of trying to not go 1A, 1B, but I guess I will. The two highlights for me, because they were both really quick moments, the scene of Rey hugging Leia, which is some of that unused footage from Episode 7, looked great.
Yeah,
like they've got the digital techniques down to adapt the scenes to the existing shots of Carrie. So I'm pretty confident that those are all going to look great and feel just natural parts of the story. And there's just a quick scene with Finn and Poe and C-3PO on a skiff-looking thing.
Skiff, yeah.
Basically, there's a Star Wars Mad Max Fury Road sequence where they're getting shot at, and then these jetpack troopers shoot out of a sandstorm. Looks awesome.
Yeah, and we can assume Chewie's there too, and probably, and they're going on kind of their own little maybe like the Mummy sort of experience.
I did realize in the last time I watched the trailer in another scene that has it's a shot that has Finn and Poe in it. Finn has Rey's staff.
That's right.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, what are you doing with that? Did she teach you how to hit people with a stick?
Well, clearly we know Finn can fight with melee weapons. That'd be pretty cool if he used that.
Okay, so speaking of Finn and melee weapons, they did pretty much definitively say that Phasma is dead.
Yeah.
Will we be angry when she actually shows up in the movie at just another JJ lie?
I don't know if we'll be angry. I just want her to do something different.
I want her to have some growth. Because growth or show up as like a cyborg or something has been my like running theory all along.
Yeah. That would probably fit the character at this point. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so we didn't see Phasma. She might be gone, probably is. We didn't see Luke, but we heard him, so we didn't get a Force Ghost spoiler. Didn't see or hear from Maz Kanata, which is maybe another character who just didn't survive the transition to this core group adventure
right.
in episode 9.
We got a lot of ground to cover.
New character Janna was not in this teaser.
Okay.
Yeah. We only saw the still image of her. She was not actually in the teaser.
Yeah, I'm getting them mixed up. But
yeah. Was there anybody else that we didn't see? Hux.
Hux
was not in it.
Interesting.
No, he wasn't even brought out on stage. I just didn't realize that.
Mm-mm.
Like in rehearsal, we tried it with Domo, and he just kept grabbing the microphone and going to the front of the stage and screaming at people.
He is so busy, man. He works so much, so who knows what he's doing. I know Adam's currently doing a play every night right now, so that's why people were saying.
With his co-star, Kerry Russell.
That's right. Couldn't be there, so. But, you know, what a trailer, and I guess now we got to approach the inevitable. So, yeah, I've seen a couple of memes online about this, of course. One of my favorites, tying all my loves together, the Dr. Ian Malcolm, Jeff Goldblum cackling one.
I was going to ask if you saw that.
Of course I did. Prequel fans, we won't be that excited after episode 9 panel. And then it shows Palpatine laughter. And then, yeah, then you have the Jeff Goldblum.
So
laugh. So
Papa Palpatine is back in some
right.
way.
And so now we can talk about this. So during the panel, several times, and I was trying to remember with David what the language was. I couldn't remember the exact vocabulary they used, but they kept saying they're going to fight the greatest evil, the ultimate evil. The ultimate evil. And really what we've been told in Star Wars now is, I mean, strictly from the cinematic standpoint, that Palpatine is the ultimate evil. No one is more evil than Palpatine. I mean, literally, the prequels are the story of Palpatine, really, more than Anakin, I would say.
That's wrong, but he's like 1B. It's about Anakin.
It's about Anakin.
And how Palpatine.
But Palpatine guides
him.
The entire plot.
Yeah, Palpatine is the antagonist in it. Yeah.
But he gets to do more than even, you know, say Vader and the other trilogy, which is interesting, I guess. But that's his time. So, and obviously, he's a huge part of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, honestly, I had seen all the speculation that Palpatine was coming back, and I didn't believe it. I was like, it just seems too obvious.
I didn't see that, but, you know, I stay off of Reddit, so.
Well, and I think we just kind of listen to different, like, other Star Wars podcasts and stuff.
Right. I think we do.
People were confident it was going to be him. And I'm not, like, don't take that as me being upset that Palpatine is back. I have no idea how it's going to work, and it's going to be awesome to see it and figure it out.
I just felt like
it was almost too obvious.
Knowing you, I think you'd rather have Palpatine than someone new or Kylo, right? As the final boss?
No, because I've been saying this whole time, Kylo should be the final boss and not redeemed and ended.
I don't think his story has led enough to that point. I mean, unless significant time passes, which is why I was saying if significant time passes, then Kylo can totally be the final boss.
I can agree with you on that one too.
But tying all three, they kept saying that over and over again. Tying all three sagas together and maybe bringing the Skywalker story to a full arc in an interesting way. Who's been the main antagonist in the Skywalker story?
Yeah, so this isn't the first time we're going to mention this, but we did do two episodes on the Dark Empire comic series from the 90s, which covered the return and resurrection of the Emperor in clones. We're going to have to revisit that, I'm sure, as we start speculating on all sorts of theories.
I don't think we need to revisit the second one.
I hope it's
the first one.
Yeah.
What if they only take elements from the second one and not the first one?
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry.
Like I said, the second one wasn't even considered necessarily canon back in the day with the original. It's so weird. But I don't know. This is interesting to me, Mike, because some of these were George's original crazy ideas after Return of the Jedi. Some of them. Some not.
George has had so many ideas for after Return of the Jedi, though, because his pitch for episode 7 was so random and different that I don't know how Palpatine would have fit into it.
Well, I don't know.
The whole like microscopic level adventure that story came out like a year ago or whatever.
Yeah,
it was really stupid.
But how credible is that story? Once again,
George said it.
We've heard so many of those stories from him though.
Yeah, he's had a lot of time to speculate.
7, 8, 9. Yeah,
just like Mark, who has had lots of time to come up with bad ideas for what Luke does.
Yeah,
Mark's ideas are bad. We've talked about this.
They're not all bad, but a lot of them are. Did you see the one last week before Celebration?
It's a new one, no.
How he wanted his introduction in Episode 7 to go.
Possibly. I'll have to refresh my memory.
Leia goes to Starkiller Base, gets captured by some stormtroopers.
Uh-huh.
Then one of the stormtroopers shoots the others, and Luke takes the stormtrooper helmet off and says, "I'm here to rescue you."
And where does this fit into the story?
Like, the story of 7 would have had to have been different, obviously. Okay. But that's how he wanted it to go.
Hmm. So just rehashing.
Yeah, that's
rehashing.
Stupid. Yeah.
That seems more like a Marvel movie thing. I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a fun rehash. Like they do things from callbacks from the other movies. Interesting. Well, anyway, Dark Empire. Emperor.
I did not intend to start bashing on Mark. I was just saying, like, I trust these directors more than the actors is all I meant.
The Resurrected Emperor has been a thing that's been obviously around for a while. Them doing that cinematically, and I say the Resurrected Emperor as an umbrella of things. Who knows how Palpatine actually is? Did he survive? Did he?
Or what specific form this is going to take? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now we know Maul survived, right, by being cut in half. So surely Palpatine.
Spider leg Palpatine.
No.
Well, it's like I've actually, even as a kid, I wondered like, how did Palpatine actually die? He fell down a shaft into a reactor, basically.
Seth MacFarlane answered that when he smashed onto the windshield of the Millennium Falcon as it was driving through the core.
But you know what I mean? Like, what? And it, one of my first thoughts on this is the Palpatine we're going to see in this be different? I think so.
Yeah.
Visually different? I think so.
Yeah.
Who knows? He might have it might be simple visually different. Like, he wears a red robe all the way to he's disfigured. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of different things.
Hasn't he had enough?
No, he will die. Yeah. Sorry, Palpatine. but yeah, I mean, just especially the prequels, Revenge of the Sith, just they truly painted him as like evil incarnate, you know? And it's like, so this is interesting. Like, is this going to be some sort of power level thing where he somehow survived? And but the real questions, though, Mike, and we'll get into these more in the future, obviously, on a deeper level, but has Palpatine been orchestrating things for a long time? And I would say it's probably so, at least in small ways.
David, do you have a few words on Horcruxes?
Yeah, I was going to say, are we going to get the...
You're a pretty big Harry Potter fan?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Get the flashback to young Palpatine sitting with Professor Slughorn asking... Could you tell me about Horcruxes? I don't know.
Who knows how this is going to take? It's going to be fun to speculate over the next 8 or so months. That's for sure.
I have a theory that I discussed with my friends the day of the trailer, actually. I don't think I've actually talked with you.
Did he discuss that with you?
Not with me.
Who the hell else have you talked to while we've been here?
Sorry. Long text conversation with my buddy who thinks about this stuff more than me. But he listens to our show, by the way. His name's Wesley. Remember, he gave us that shining review, one of our earlier episodes. Anyways, he has a crazy theory that I'm sure is on the internet. I'm unsure, but his theory is that, of course, Kylo's known the Palpatine's been around for a while, and that Kylo's been preparing for this. And Kylo's about to out-Snape Snape at the end of this trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of that when you said Horcruxes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Kylo's going to be kind of the dark side, like Snape, in a way where he's like, either he wants to kill Palpatine and become himself, or he's been playing the long game as Ben Solo, maybe.
Maybe.
But either way, he knows about Palpatine in some way. Yeah. There's something with Snoke's mind or something, because now we got interesting questions about Snoke. Was Snoke controlled by Palpatine? Who knows? These sort of great questions.
Yeah, we'll have a lot to see, that's for sure. So
it's compelling.
After this panel, what else did we do here on the second day?
That's right. I think we had lunch immediately.
Yeah, we pretty much went straight to lunch. Like, yeah. We need to get food and sit down and talk about this.
Yeah, I don't know if we painted the picture yet enough, but the main stage is quite a distance from the actual hall.
But we did learn connected via Skybridge, which was nice.
That's right. It took us some time to learn that, but mm-hmm. we figured it out. And there are different buildings across, literally across the street from each other. So you have to travel quite a bit. So we had some lunch in the cafeteria. It was fine. The cafeteria was incredibly crowded.
Yeah.
We had to eat sitting on the floor. But after that, we went straight to the panel floor, right? I mean, the show floor.
Straight to the exhibit floor, yeah. We took another peek at the official store line. We're like, nope, still too long.
Yeah, if you guys listened to our first After Dark, yeah, that was quite a long experience.
It was moving, though, and in the right direction, too, no less. Moving.
So there were improvements, but we still were like, not the right time.
We're playing the long game. If it keeps improving at this rate, another day or two will be good.
Exactly.
But basically, we after that, we kind of we did just a sweep of all the floors. And I will say a lot more cosplay like we predicted on this day.
Yes.
And a lot more people. And then the banner was finally fully revealed later on in the day. I'm surprised
they didn't do it right away.
I know. That seemed like a mistake. Mm-hmm. Someone made a mistake.
Well, and I was like, oh, maybe they're holding that up till the very end because there's Palpatine on there. But no, it's just Kylo with his super glued helmet.
Yeah.
As the main like figure with everybody else in front of him.
I presume the next trailer will maybe get some more Palpatine audio, but I don't know if we'll get his visual.
Yeah. We might get his chair or something.
But
when do you think we'll get the next trailer? Because Endgame is like next week. That's too soon.
Not then. Going by The Force Awakens timelines?
Lion King, maybe?
I still think it'd be later than that. That'd be nice.
Remember
The Force Awakens? They had its teaser came out like Christmas right before mm-hmm. that year. And then, of course, the full teaser came out at Celebration. And then, of course, the final trailer came out during Monday Night Football around Thanksgiving. Or prior to Thanksgiving, but that month.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll change that now that Disney owns Fox and they will have a major movie in every month of the year, pretty much, they can attach things to. If there will be another teaser and then a trailer or two trailers, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Good question. So after we basically walked around, we saw a lot of cosplay. I'm sure you guys, if you're following us on Instagram, at the Canon Cantina, we posted a lot of that. Today, but other than that, we kind of just went to the podcast stage.
Yeah, we went and checked out the a couple of the early shows on the podcast stage. The first one we saw was Beyond the Outer Rim.
Shout out.
And my goodness, their conversation was based around the Phantom Menace and
deep dive
and the trivia that they came up with, which they admitted like during the show, which was hilarious. It's like they thought, oh man, we made these really hard
questions. How many
questions
did they have? Four, maybe?
Four or five questions that they brought audience
Mike,
members
I only
up.
Knew like two or three.
Yeah,
that's just to show how deep they are.
Yeah, right. I didn't know any of them. I was like, oh, man.
I knew the delegate in the Senate, and I knew what camp number. But there were some other ones.
You knew the camp number? Yes.
There were some other ones that were pretty extreme. I don't remember what the extreme ones were, but it was intense.
They played it off real well, and it was really funny. So they did a good job. And then David and I stuck around for Skywalking Through Neverland, a Star Wars Disney mashup podcast. And Richard and Sarah, this is their second or third celebration to actually do a show on the podcast stage. And it showed that they had all sorts of experience. There was live music and cameos and jokes and like physical challenges.
Yeah. They had several extras involved in the production.
Yeah. It was a production. That's
I saw some
a really
of the
501st
people
it.
In there.
Yeah.
I got
yeah.
the first couple of minutes of their show. Yeah. It was quite the production. The costumes.
Yeah.
Some Disney costumes. Yeah. So we basically just were trying to obviously watch some of our fellow shows, but also get a lay of the land and the sound and everything like that. And just kind of hung out over there and by the droid room. So I actually went to the droid room as well after this. Mike didn't get to go yet, but I had a blast in there. And I actually had a lot of discussions with them in there, the guys that run that place. And they're like, no one knows we're here. And I was like, believe me, man, we're experiencing the same thing.
We're podcast next door. Room. We get it.
So I don't know if we've dove too deep on the first After Dark about that, but basically we did mention it's far away.
We talked about how hard it was to find it.
But now we're fully into Celebration. We saw the first day. I mean, people were having a hard time finding we were even over there entirely. So, and us in the droid room are right by each other. But the droid room is awesome. There's a full K2 in there with lines. There's R2 units. There's BB-8s. There's Jawas. And there's a BB-8 set where you could take pictures. It's pretty great.
I still
also
need to
chopper.
Do that.
Yeah. So, and also there was a Jawa. I'll just say it now because it was so incredible. But there was a lot of Jawa mannequins with light up eyes. And there was a scene where they're messing with pit droids and battle droids and stuff like that. And there was one Jawa that was actually real.
I am sad.
And he was not moving. It scared some people.
Yeah.
So that was the last thing we did at the actual celebration that day. We came home for a bit. Then we went out to the Motor Row Brewing Company to check out the early parts of the Rogue Squadron podcast.
That's right. They were having their basically hangout live podcast night. It was awesome. I got to talk with those guys. So shout out to Mopar and Commander Cody from that show. They were very generous speaking with us and talking about some beer, talking about T-Public and our, you know, things like that, and doing live shows and their thoughts on the trailer. It was very exciting. And it was a three-story brewery, and we kind of checked out all three floors and listened to some podcasts. It was a fun time.
Yeah, and if you notice that we're referring to this in the past tense, it's because we're not recording this at the end of the second day, because we got home from that, and I was like, I need to do all sorts of work to get ready for our show tomorrow.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on.
Which, more on that in the future episode.
Yeah. we're obviously going to try to stay on track on those days. But, yeah, it just that was fun. And after that, we went and had a really late dinner. And we had some, you know, some local craft beers and fancy hamburgers.
Those
that
were
super good.
Yeah, good.
You know when a place is good when they say, how do you want your burger cooked? And our default is medium. And you say, okay, this place is good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was our second day at Celebration.
Yeah.
Kind of dominated, obviously, by that trailer and panel at 11 a.m. Any final thoughts or other cool things we saw that yesterday?
I just, you know, got sick, so that was fun. Concred. But I was already sick coming here, so it's taking over.
That didn't take long.
Yeah. Yeah. No surprises.
Oh, I think maybe the next coolest thing that I saw, and David, you were with me when we saw this a couple times, there was a little, like, two and a half year old.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was, she was, like, cosplaying as an Ewok. She had, like, the Wicket hood on, and she was awed by a person cosplaying as a wolf. The Loth Wolf from Rebels, and then we saw her later, like banging on one of the functioning R2-D2s.
Yeah,
which was great.
So awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, you gotta love the little scenes you see, and we posted a lot of those on our Instagram stories because it's just like little moments like that happen all day, every day. It's awesome. But that's day two of the Cannon Cantina After Dark. Hope you guys enjoyed it. What are you guys' thoughts on the trailer? Let us know at the Cannon Cantina on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just stay in touch with us. We're going to keep doing these every day and keep you guys up to date. And don't forget, we have our live show on Saturday at 2 p.m. And if this is posting after the fact, well,
then you can
so
yell
be
at
it.
Me. It's okay. I've got a lot
so
to do.
So be it. We got a lot to do. But that's it today, guys. So may the force be with you.
Cheers. Boom. Boring conversation. Oh, wait. It's boring conversation. Anyway. Boom.
There you go.